everybody. So I just want to let you all know that Mary is going to be taking over this presentation today, and I've had a lot of people tell me about they have the process mailed, but they're a little unsure of how to make sure that they're also managing the franchisor during the process. So hopefully this will help you. And Mary, you can go ahead and take it whenever you're ready.
Thanks. Thank you, Megan. Thank you all so much for your patience with me this morning. My ReadyTalk was trying to auto-log me in on my regular account that I use, and it took me a while to figure that out. Sorry, not enough coffee. Anyway, the goal is really to talk about managing the franchisor. You know, we all work so hard at trying to manage our prospects and make sure that the process goes well for them and make sure that they're getting what they need. Well, you know, Leslie Cuban came up with a document, I think it was like 2003, that showed that there's really kind of two faces to the business, one that faces the prospect, the other that really faces the franchisor. And at the end of the day, the franchisor is the one that actually pays our fee. And so we've got to be able to work with them in a really professional way to help our prospects get what they need and help the franchisors get what they need as well. So, you know, just some general tips on working with them. Just recognize that they are human beings like us. They have emotions, and it's really important to get to know them personally. And your opportunities to do that are at the Franet National meetings. And if you're not going to those meetings or you're not calling these franchisors and having conversations and getting to know them, do it. It's really important. It's great for making long-term friends as well. You figure out who you can work with. You learn more about what they're doing. It's super helpful. The other thing I'll tell you, and this is a disappointing thing to me, you know, this is my 15th year in Franet, and I hear sometimes from the folks at corporate headquarters that the franchisors tell them that Franeters are rude to them. And I really just can't understand that at all, especially because we should have a relationship of mutual respect and, you know, and sometimes admiration. But we've got to be able to work with these folks. So I highly recommend that everybody be very professional all the time and keep it upbeat. You know, this is going to sound really corny, but every time I have to make a phone call, if I'm not in the mood to have the phone call, I have to look in the mirror and smile at myself, get a smile on my face, and go make that phone call. Whether it's to a prospect or to a franchisor, the outcome should really be the same, and that's very professional and having a good attitude toward them and toward the process. The other thing that I recommend doing is when you are working with a newer franchisor, let's say it's a deal that you've never referred to before, it's new to you, tell them. Say, hey, this is my first time doing this, and I need your feedback. Be honest with me. How did I do? How's the candidate? What can I do better in the presentation? Always be asking what you can be doing better. And that's how you should really end every follow-up call with the franchisors. You know, what do you need from me? How can I help make this better? If you haven't already discussed that in the call, make it better for them. Make it better for the prospect. The other thing I will tell you is that some franchisors get registrations from us rather than just referrals. And so you really want to make sure that that is very professionally done as well. You know, making sure that when you send somebody that you actually follow up on that registration. The only time I ever send registration only is if I've had an optional candidate. You know, I've presented five concepts. They've picked two or three that have risen to the top. The other two get backburnered. I'm going to go ahead and register those other two, but I'm going to let that franchisor know that I'm going to follow back up with them and let them know what's happened there. That way they don't feel it's like a cold registration. If we want to differentiate ourselves from our competitors, this is it. Our competitors go out there and they sell. They present 9, 10 businesses. They register them with all different kinds of franchisors, just hoping and praying to make a buck. You know, it's kind of what they say, the blind squirrel gets a nut every now and again. That's kind of the premise of which they are actually running their businesses. But we do not do that. So it's important to actually come back around and follow up with a go or a no-go answer. And if it's a no-go answer, that's okay. You always let that franchisor know there are more leads to come, that you're going to continue to make those referrals and really work with them through their processes. Now, when you have a referral that you've already made and you're kind of beginning the process with the franchisor, make sure you send your lead through FranConnect and you follow it up with a phone call. You know, if you don't get them on the phone, that's okay. Quite honestly, I make phone calls all the time where I have no intention of talking to the person on the other end. I just know that I'm going to leave a detailed message, and it's going to be something that they need to know about that process to get that person to get the process off the ground. You know, when I leave these messages, I'm typically telling them who the person is, you know, what their professional background is, why they're considering it, if they're also in the job market, those kinds of things. I'll point out any concerns that I have. You know, I recently had a client who is really, really shy. So let the franchisor know this person is shy. You know, just make sure that you're aware of that. And if it's something that's not going to work for you, let me know right away. Also let them know if the spouse needs to be on the first call or multiple calls. Sometimes a person, especially our achievers, our emulators, they can handle the first calls, or belongers for that matter, can handle the first calls pretty well. But sometimes we run into people that are highly visual. They can't take notes, right? So they're going to need their spouse there just for that kind of support, if nothing else. And I have a client like that right now. When I talk to him, he's completely scattered. So I told the franchisor, make sure his wife's on the phone, because his wife will actually take the notes, synthesize the information, and help him work it through. He's a great sales guy, totally good at building relationships, just not good at the details, right? So let him know what's going on, you know, if that's the case. Also understand what the timeline is for the research process for the franchisor. You know, I talked to a franchisor yesterday that told me they had just shortened their franchise development process from 15 steps down to 4 simple steps, right? But I wouldn't have known that had I not asked the question. And then I'm able to better prepare the prospect for that too. Every time I leave a message for somebody or I send a referral or registration in, I always ask for a confirmation of receipt. It's nothing drives me more crazy than to find out I send in a referral and 3 or 4 days later they have still not called the prospect, and it's because it got hung up on somebody's secretary's computer or some crazy thing like that. Always make sure that they have your lead and that they've gotten to that person within, you know, 2 to 3 days at most. You know, Barney Greenbaum told me a long time ago that either he or one of the franchisors was talking to his prospect every 72 hours. He was very on top of that communication, and that's why Barney has closed many, many deals over the years. So just make sure that, you know, you're doing that as well. Again, if it's a new franchisor, tell them to be honest with you about your presentation, you know, especially based on the questions they're getting after the first call with the prospect. That can be really helpful to you in really dialing in your presentation skills. Ask them about your candidate and ask them to be brutally honest on how you did at bringing them the right person. And you might want to know, and I usually do, how many others are in the market and looking, and how long have they been in the process? Because I want to be able to prepare my prospect for that, and I want to get a feel from the franchisor about how they feel about those people in the pipeline. Some of them, they'll say, this guy's not serious, or this one's really not a fit, or this guy's humming along and he's exactly the right fit. And so we want to kind of understand so we can figure out where our prospects fit into that. Call or email the franchisor after every single time you're talking to your prospect, and you should be talking to your prospects at least once a week or more often if they're moving right along. So when call them when you need to convey a real message or strategize on what to do with the person, email them when there's not much of anything to report or they missed the call. You know, make sure that you're, you know, communicating in a good way that way. Some fran editors completely email all the time and they write lots of detailed emails. You know, that's fantastic if that franchisor can handle that. I can tell you personally, when somebody sends me a book to read, my eyes roll back in my head. So I want to make sure that I'm communicating well, too, with that franchisor. I just got off the phone with one of the franchise development people that I'm particularly close with but those phone calls are so meaningful. He and I always have such good exchange that way, and that's way better than me ever sending him an email for any purpose. So know who you're dealing with and know how they are actually, how they like to be communicated with as well. You know, the other thing about franchisors, recognize that they're salespeople and they get impatient sometimes. So you want to temper them while you're moving your prospect along as well. You know, I told a franchisor this morning, I said, hey, you're doing a great job. You know, the prospect really likes the business, but my biggest fear for you is if you don't slow your process down, that they're not going to catch up on this other thing that they're looking at, and then they're going to put this concept on ice in favor of moving this other thing along. I said it would be better if we stretched out the next couple of steps so we can make sure that you don't get pushed by the wayside and this process doesn't get pushed by the wayside and they're moving along at a good clip. And I told her, I'll do my part. I will make sure that this prospect knows that they're going to have to continue moving along at a good pace, but we do need to slow it down just a little bit. And so we strategized on how to do that done, and that was well received by the person. And this person's a lovely lady, this franchise developer, but she wants that deal done, and I get that. And I know time kills deals, but we also have to be, you know, reasonable about how these things kind of work together or working against each other. And that kind of brings me to what I call the power of thundering hooves. This is not a term I came up with by myself. This is a term that came directly from a franchise development person who was very in favor about getting competing prospects and moving them through the pipeline really, really quickly. And I got how that served him, but I didn't necessarily think that that really served my clients very well. I don't think that's a cool thing to do. I don't think it has a place in the process. And frankly, as I wrote here, it smells like sales breath, and the prospects know it. So I'm really work hard to make sure I don't get surprised by things like that. I had that happen with a franchise developer about 3 months ago, and I very kindly pulled her aside, and I said, hey, you know, I know this is really important to you. I totally get what you're trying to do. But now you have offended the prospect, and now we have to go to damage control, and I never thought we'd be here. So how do you see the two of us being able to take care of this prospect and keeping them in the process? Because at this point, when a prospect knows that a franchise development person is pushing them to the finish line, they don't trust them anymore, right? Our greatest role is being a trusted advisor, and this is how we help bring the two together. But especially if there's a breach like that, you have to be prepared and ready. So keep that in mind, too. I will tell you, I have screwed up more than once, many times. And there are times that I don't screw up at all, but in order to make somebody else feel better, I will throw myself on the sword just to make sure that everybody kind of keeps on the same level and keeps everything moving in the right direction. So keep that in mind. When you make a mistake, admit it and move on. Fix it, move on. When somebody else makes a mistake and you're able to kind of help them out, throw yourself on the sword. Don't be too proud to impale yourself if it means helping that prospect and helping that franchisor get to the end that they're both looking for. Also recognize, like I said before, franchisors screw up too, and so you've got to be very tactful, and we're in a unique position to actually do that. I've had franchisors that get very emotional in the process, and so we kind of have to manage their emotions at the same time we're managing our own and our prospects, and that's why we get paid the big bucks. So just keep in mind that you may have to do that from time to time. Understand franchisors' research process, pace your prospect. I think we talked about that. Also understand how franchisees are actually funding their deals within the system and get ahead of it. You know, I was on a call today telling a franchisor, hey, look, you know, my prospect's really serious, and I think she's going to move forward. And we had a conversation today, and I wanted you to know she's planning to use her IRA to fund the business, and she's talking to Guidant and Benetrends. How do you feel about that? Franchisor comes back and says, oh, yeah, if they're talking to Benetrends, they need to talk to Eric. And if they're talking to Guidant, they better be talking to Ralph. And we're good with that. And that's what you want to hear. But if the franchisor comes back and says, you know what? we're really partial to Franfund, you know, or we're really partial to Benetrends or something like that, or they have a certain connection there, you may want to try to work to make that connection as well, just so it's a workable situation for everyone involved. When Discovery Day is approaching, it's a good idea to ask the franchisor about expectations for the prospect. You know, what's this going to be like? Are you going to take them to dinner? Are you picking them up at the airport? What's it going to be like when they walk through your doors? You also might want to know if they're expecting that the person be ready to sign or if they're going to be awarded after the fact and what they're going to need to know about funding prior to getting to Discovery Day. You may ask the franchisor if they're going to do an agreement review before someone gets to the Discovery Day. And if they do review, if there's anything negotiable, we all know typically there isn't, but occasionally, you know, somebody will be able to change some verbiage to something that they didn't like quite the way it was written or something like that. Some franchisors will flat out say, take it or leave it. It is what it is. And so you just want to know that and prepare the prospect for that. You also want to prepare the prospect for the Discovery Day and anything else that's unusual or unique in the process. I learned this a long time ago, probably 10 years ago. I had someone go to a Molly Maids Discovery Day, and they were a little freaked out because every Molly Maid employee came into the lobby and shook their hand before they ever walked into the building. So you just want to understand those things, you know, make sure that someone is prepared. You know, if your prospect's going to Medici or Menchie's, the first thing you meet's going to do is have them stand up and tell everybody in the room, all 200 people packed into a 10-by-10 room, you know, exactly why they are interested in Medici or Menchie's and why it's meaningful to them. So be ready to do public speaking on the spot. You know, those are things that people would like to know in advance. So be mindful of that and know that those things are coming and get your prospect prepared for it. That's really all that I have to share with you today. If it's okay with Megan, I think we'll just open it up for questions or comments or anything you all have been thinking about relative to working with franchisors, anything you feel like I missed that could be helpful to somebody else. Let's go ahead and do that.
All right. I'll unmute the lines.
The conference has been unmuted.
And go for it.
Mary, this is Bill Powell in Cincinnati.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, just a quick question. As you get to the final, I'll just say week or 10 days, let's just say post-Discovery Day, and they haven't made a decision, how often are you on the phone with the franchisor and the client, too? But.
Well, it depends on the situation. If somebody's gone to a Discovery Day and they're still having trouble making a decision, then there's two things I'm doing. One is I'm asking the franchisor what their expectation is in terms of a decision, and usually I'll know that prior to a Discovery Day. Some franchisors say, hey, look, we're going to take your person through the Discovery Day. Within 3 days, we'd like for them to have a decision made, and we're going to call, and our committee gets together, and they're going to award it on a Monday, and I'm going to call on a Wednesday and offer it, you know. So you want to know that from the franchisor, but if your person's getting that far down the line, then you really have to start unraveling what's going on with that person. Why are they having trouble making a decision? Do you have a specific example you're working through right now?
No, I actually narrowed the question too much. It's not really post Discovery Day. It's really in the final days before Discovery Day and after. I asked the question too narrowly.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I mean, usually I'm just getting the prospect prepared. Again, I think more knowledge up front is better. The more table setting you do, the better people feel. And I don't care, you know, what their buyer motives are or how they view the world. I think people feel better when they know what's coming. And so, you know, I'll tell the prospect out prior to Discovery Day, hey, this is the way this works, and once you're done, then they're going to meet as a committee. They're going to decide if they want to offer it to you. Then they're going to offer it to you, and that's your opportunity to say yes or no. Do you think you'll be ready? And so if there's a problem, I'm usually identifying it prior to them getting there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
any other thoughts or questions for Mary on what she's talked about today, or even moments where you can think of that you saw that the communication between you and your Zor was perhaps something that caused a challenge for you in the process, or maybe made it so where the deal didn't get closed because of a miscommunication, or maybe there was some sort of obstacle that you guys had trouble getting over that you can think of now and would like to talk through?
Hey, Mary, this is Lynn out in Sacramento.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi. So just, I know that, you know, Guidant, Benetrends, and FranFund, they're all awesome, but you mentioned, you know, that some franchisors have a faster process, et cetera, and that got me thinking, can anyone just kind of weigh in regards to currently who seems to be having the fastest funding process? And also the best communication that we can utilize if we do know that late in the game that they've changed their mind, you know, the prospects have changed their mind and they're going to utilize their IRA or something to roll that over.
Well, it's been my experience that no matter which company you work with, it's all 2 to 4 weeks on a 401k or IRA. Now, if you have an SBA lending process, you are at the mercy of the SBA and the banks. Now, you know, I think that we are very blessed that we have 3 great funding companies to work with, and one that will go the extra mile for us in protecting us, that's Benetrends. So I think that, you know, you should be prepared for a great amount of time if it's going to be SBA and 2 to 4 weeks on the other, and I don't think that you're going to get anything slam dunk more quickly one than the other. It's been my experience that they all operate at about the same pace. The challenge is, you know, in the beginning, in each state, I'm sure you're well familiar, they've got to set up the corporation, so sometimes that's pretty quick and sometimes it takes a little bit of time, and then the rollover itself takes time and moving money into accounts takes time. So, you know, I think that's the best way to prepare your folks is that's about a 2 to 4 week process where your SBA lending could take anywhere from a couple weeks to a few months. I hope that's helpful.
Yeah, it is. Thanks.
How long? This is Bill Powell again. I got one more quick question. I've been at this about 2.5 years, and I still I guess it's part, at least half of it's me, but I feel that I always need to know more exactly what the franchisor process is. You know, the ones that you've gone through, you have some idea, but when somebody, when you're working with a new franchisor that you've not done a deal with yet, I guess I just need to ask more questions about what is your process. Anyway, there's a question in there somewhere.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a great point, and I tried to make it earlier. And when you're on a first call with somebody, you know, you want to ask them what their process is and understand it just so you can prepare. You know, the other thing I'll say is the more that you get to know these franchisors, you get to know their processes, you're going to learn more about their validation. When you're making presentations, it's great for building stories and having background, you know. You know, I can tell my clients when I present SignWorld, this is a great opportunity. Fran has put over 300 owners into this business. You know, the person you're going to talk to, his name is Ken Kent. He's been doing this a long time, and he gets straight to the point, you know, because we all know Ken Kent doesn't have just tons of small talk. You know, he gets to the point. He starts taking people through the process. He's going to be fairly direct. And by letting letting the client know that, they know exactly what's coming, you know. You know, and I have kid concepts as an example. You know, right now I'm working with Chris Neeb at Songs for Seeds. Well, Chris Neeb's got a toddler, and I know this because I've met Chris's wife, and I've met their little person, and I know that I can connect people on a personal level that way, which is exactly what I did with my with the person that I'm talking to who's actually looking at it. And I know that in that process, when I told her, I said, hey, you're going to have a couple of calls with Chris. You're going to get to talk to the owner. You know, you're going to have opportunity to talk to some of their owners, and then they'll probably be looking at a meet the team day. But if I'm not talking to Chris up front and getting to know him and getting to know those things, it, you know, I can't give her that comfort. So, and yet, you know, Bill, every one of them is different, so it's kind of hard to know exactly, you know, what it is. But if you all out there on the line are actually making horse lists at the beginning of the year, where you're tracking your top, I don't know, 15 to 25 franchisors, then you should really know those franchisors cold, and you should know their processes cold, you know, and that should always kind of be your go-to. But if you have that one-off, you know, where the person comes along and it's, you know, it's this business that, you know, really is, could be the right fit for them, but not something you present very often. I'm also honest with the prospect. I'll say, you know, this isn't something I get to present to very many people very often, but I'd like to tell you about it. So forgive me for stumbling around, but here's what I know about it. And now I'm going to connect you to this person, and we're going to do a little bit of learning together. But on a high level, I think this matches your model, and here's why. So, you know, I do some of those things, too, and then I get on the phone with the franchisor and say, hey, you know, I know we really haven't talked very much, but I'd really like to get to know you, get to know your process. I want you to be brutally honest about this person that I've just sent you, and please tell me how I can present this better, you know. And I'll tell the franchisor, I stumbled around. You know, I probably need some help and some education, and they're going to spend that time with me because now they know I'm invested in it, right?
Yes. Thank you. I must have asked a better question than I thought I did. I agree that Ken is just fantastically blunt, wonderfully blunt. Yeah.
Yes, he is. But those are the things, you know, those are the things we have to know. You know, I was just talking to another franchise development person, and I won't say who it is. I don't want to offend anybody, but he's very, he's more emotional. And he says to me, he goes, I don't know if the prospect is telling me everything. And I said, let me tell you more about her. I said, you know, she's not the type of person that you walk in the room and she gives you a hug. I said, she's not cold, but she's not totally, you know, warm like that. She's just going to tell you what she needs to know. I said, look at her assessment. She's a high achiever. She just wants to get to the point. I said, no big deal. I said, we can both appreciate that. And he's like, oh, yeah, thanks. That makes me feel so much better. Right? So yeah. At that point, I'm managing his expectation for her. It doesn't make her a bad prospect. She's not holding anything back, you know, but he just needs to feel good about dealing with her.
Yeah, you've met her. You know her. He doesn't. So you put a face on her a little bit.
Right, and that's a big differentiator for us with the franchisors and our prospects. We are local, you know, and we can be the trusted advisor, and we're meeting our people face-to-face, and so we can tell these franchisors, here's what they look like, here's what they act like, here's what they dress like. I mean, you're emulator candidates, that matters, right? So.
Yep. Fantastic.
Are there any other thoughts or questions that we have for today?
I don't have any. I've asked two. That's more than I usually do.
Thank you. Well, I think if that is all for today, then if you have any questions that pop up afterward, or you're thinking about just this process in general, making sure that you're covering all your bases in this aspect, just shoot me an email or shoot Mary, if you don't mind, and just kind of finish up on if they have any other questions specifically on something that you mentioned during the call. But we will try to get your questions answered, and I will send out a recording for this if you guys want to look at it later. So that will be it for today. Thank you, Mary, for going through all that with us. And I hope you guys have a good rest of your Thursday.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you all. Have a great day.